Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the sixth canto, chapter 12, entitled Vritrasura's Glorious Death, text number 20. Pavan Atashin Mayam Vai Vaishnavim Jana Mohanim Yad Vihayasuram Bhavam Maha Purushatam Gataha Bhavanatashin Mayam Vai sorry Vaishnavim Jana Mohanim Yad Vihaya Surang Bhavang Mahapurushatam Gataha Bhavanatashin Mayam Vai Vaishnavim Jana Mohanim Yad Vihaya Surang Bhavam Mahapurushatam Gataha Bhavanatashin Mayam Vai Vaishnavim Jana Mohanim Yad Vihaya Surang Bhavam Mahapurushatam Gataha Vaishnavim Jana Mohanim Yad Vihaya Surang Bhavang Mahapurushatam Gataha Mavanatarsin Mayang Vai Vaishnavim Jana Mohanim Yad Vihaya Surang Bhavang Mahapurushatam Gataha Bhavanatashin Mayam Vai Vaishnavim Jana Mohanim Bhavam What are these? Bhavanatashin Mayam Vai Vaishnavim Jana Mohanim Yad Vihaya Surang Bhavam Mahapurushatam Gataha Matajis, please. Vantashin Mayam Vai Vaishnavim Jana Mohanim Asura Pang Mahapurushatam Gataha Bhavanatarshin Mayam Vai Vaishnavim Jana Mohanim Yad Vihaya Surang Bhavam Mahapurushatam Gataha Bhavan, your good self, Atashrit, has surmounted. Mayam, the illusory energy. Vai, indeed, Vaishnavim, of Lord Vishnu. Janamohanim, which deludes the mass of people. Yat, since. Vihaya, giving up. Asuram, of the demons. Bhavam, the mentality. Mahapurushatam, the position of an exalted devotee. Gataha, obtained. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. You have surmounted the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, and because of this liberation, you have given up the demonic mentality and have attained the position of an exalted devotee. Purport. Lord Vishnu is the Mahapurusha. Therefore, one who becomes a Vaishnava attains the position of a Mahapaurusha. This position was attained by Maharaj Parikshit. It is said in the Padma Purana that the distinction between a demigod and a demon is that a demigod is a devotee of Lord Vishnu, whereas a demon is just the opposite. Vishnu Bhaktak Smrito Daiva Asurastad Viparyaya. Ritrasura was considered a demon, but actually he was more than qualified as a devotee, or Mahapaurusha. If one somehow becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord, whatever his position, he can be brought to the position of a perfect person. This is possible if an unalloyed devotee tries to serve the Lord by delivering him in this way. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami says in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18, Kiratahu hunandra pulinda pulkasha abirasu sumba yavana kashadayaha yenye cha papayad apashrayashrayaha shudyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. Kiratas, hunas, andras, pulindas, pulkashas, abiras, sumbas, yavanas, and members of the kasha races, and even others addicted to sinful activities can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord, for He is the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Anyone can be purified if he takes shelter of a pure devotee and molds his character according to the pure devotee's direction. Then, even if one is a kirata, andra, pulinda, or whatever, he can be purified and elevated to the position of a Mahapaurusha. Om Agyane Timarandasya Kananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umilitangena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishnam Sai Bhutale Shimate Vladananda Swami Tone Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishnam Sai Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tone Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschayati Adyesha Dharine. So this verse is very important, particularly for us. For everyone within the Brahma Sampradaya, it's important, especially so for the followers of Lord Chaitanya, and especially so for the followers of Srila Prabhupada. This verse really epitomizes Srila Prabhupada's mood when he came here to the West. Within India and within the Vedas, it's understood that these continents of North and South America were continents of where the residents, the inhabitants, were people of demonic mentality. And consequently, those with the demigod mentality didn't travel to these different places. So Prabhupada, even knowing how degraded society in these Western countries is, still he came here, he tolerated. In his diary, when he was coming over on the Jaladuta, he was even asking Krishna, why are you bringing me to such a terrible place? But he came anyway because he understood that this is the real mood of the previous acharyas, and this is the desire of Krishna. This whole material world was created specifically to elevate us out of this deviant, demoniac mentality, to bring us from trying to enjoy this material world separately out of our own interest, to come to the position of wanting to assist Krishna in his transcendental pastimes for his pleasure. So it's rather amazing, actually, the contrast, because even in India, over the course of time, through the influence of this Kali Yuga, even their great heritage has become contaminated in so many ways through bodily consciousness of life. To where many people over there view that unless you're born as a Indian Hindu, then you basically have no chance of liberation whatsoever. Like there was one story I remember, one pastime during Lord Chaitanya's time, there was one Brahmin who somehow or other, I forget exactly how, but he was sprinkled by the water from the pot of a Muslim. So at the time, that was like a huge deal. If you were sprinkled with the water from a Muslim's water pot, that was basically converting you immediately to Islam. And immediately you were cast out and rejected from Hindu society. So this Brahmin was very disturbed and he went around asking so many pundits, what do I do to counteract this terrible thing that has happened to me? And these pundits were prescribing so many terrible things. And each one of those things individually would have caused him to die, to leave his body. The last one that he talked to said, well, best is you just boil some ghee and drink that boiling ghee. So this was the mentality. The mentality is that of bodily consciousness. Your body is too sinful, it's too contaminated. So best you commit suicide and try again next lifetime. Maybe then you'll get a chance. But this is not the mood of the previous acharyas, and this is factually not how it works either. We can see from Prabhupada's practical example that by traveling around the world, giving his divine association, guiding all these different people that he met with his directions, his instructions, and by them following those instructions, just as he says here in the second to last sentence of the purport, anyone can be purified if he takes shelter of a pure devotee and molds his character according to the pure devotee's direction. So by taking to these instructions that Prabhupada laid out, so many countless people, thousands and thousands of people, have been able to surpass the conditions of their particular material body and become purified and actually become devotees and even pure devotees themselves. So essentially what Prabhupada's talking about here in the purport and what Indra is referring to in the translation is there's two classes of beings. There's Nityabhata and Nityamukta. Nityabhata means eternally conditioned. It doesn't mean eternally as in beyond all time. It means eternally because it's been so long that we've been conditioned here within this material world that we can no longer trace out the origin and the sequence of all the countless millions and millions of births we've had here. And we can't trace out when we actually came here. That's why it's called Nityabhata. And then Nityamukta is an eternally liberated being. It's a being who comes from the spiritual world for a divine mission to carry out the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada makes a very important point in his teachings. He says that everyone can become Nityamukta. Everyone. It's not that there's only a limited amount of Nityamukta, eternally liberated beings, and everyone else, well, you're just kind of left out in the cold. That's not how it works. And that's one of the problems with some other traditions. In one particular other tradition, there was a great hullabaloo where they were trying to codify their teachings. And in the process, they basically established that Nityabhata souls cannot become Nityamukta. They did this by saying that one particular son of God was begotten and not created. By this very subtle usage of words, it essentially cut people off from being able to elevate their behavior through following the footsteps of previous great personalities. Because how can you follow in the footsteps of one who is begotten rather than created? It's not possible. But that's not the case with the way spiritual advancement works. And that's not the case with the teachings of our previous acharyas. Our previous acharyas have very clearly described that everyone has the potential and capacity to become a pure devotee of the highest caliber. It's not that we just read about these great previous acharyas and all these wonderful things they've done, all these great mahajans, and everyone else, you're just like, you're left on the side for eternity because, well, you know, you're just kind of stuck because you're eternally conditioned. Sorry. That's not the case. Everyone, by following in the footsteps of these previous great personalities, the previous acharyas, the previous mahajans, they can all elevate themselves to these highest levels of devotional service. So, with that in mind, there's one verse in the second canto, ninth chapter, text 19 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This particular verse happens just after Lord Brahma has executed his penance of 1,000 years, and Lord Vishnu is appearing before him. And Lord Vishnu was so impressed, so pleased by Lord Brahma, that after Lord Brahma paid his obeisances to Lord Vishnu actually shook his hand. And so then So that's what this verse here describes. And seeing Brahma present before him, the Lord accepted him as worthy to create living beings and to be controlled as he desired. And thus being much satisfied with him, the Lord shook hands with Brahma and, slightly smiling, addressed him thus. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains some very nice things. It's a small purport, so I'll just read a couple of paragraphs from it. Prabhupada says, "The creation of the material world is not blind or accidental. Living entities who are ever conditioned or Nityabhata are thus given a chance for liberation under the guidance of his own representative, like Brahma. The Lord instructs Brahma in Vedic knowledge in order to diffuse this knowledge to the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls are forgetful souls in their relationship with the Lord, and thus a period of creation and the process of dissemination of Vedic knowledge are necessary activities of the Lord. Lord Brahma has a great responsibility in delivering the conditioned souls, and therefore he is very dear to the Lord." Brahma also does his duty very perfectly, not only by generating the living entities, but also by spreading his party for reclaiming the fallen souls. This party is called the Brahma Sampradaya, and any member of this party, to date, is naturally engaged in reclaiming the fallen souls back to Godhead, back home. The Lord is very much anxious to get back his parts and parcels, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. No one is more dear than the one who takes the risk of reclaiming the fallen souls back to Godhead. There are many renegades from the Brahma Sampradaya whose only business is to make men more forgetful of the Lord and thus entangle them more and more in material existence. Such persons are never dear to the Lord, and the Lord sends them deeper into the darkest regions of matter, so that such envious demons may not be able to know the Supreme Lord. Anyone, however, preaching the mission of the Lord in the line of Brahma Sampradaya is always dear to the Lord, and the Lord, being satisfied with such a preacher of the authorized bhakti cult, shakes hands with them in great satisfaction. So that's what this material world was created for. The material world was created specifically to reform all the wayward souls from their deviant desires. And Lord Brahma was elected as being the primary leader of this party, the Sankirtan party, to reclaim all the fallen souls back to Godhead. And it's interesting that it mentions how those who are averse to reclaiming the conditioned souls to Godhead and who simply engage their activities to send people the other way, deeper and deeper into the material world, those people themselves are actually becoming degraded down into the darkest regions of ignorance. But at the same time in the verse here, here's Vritrasura. He's this extremely powerful demon. And if he's like the other demons, then he also resides within these very dark regions of ignorance. But yet we can see here that he's actually a pure devotee. So it is possible for demons to become devotees, just like was mentioned in previous classes about Narada Muni turning Prahlad Maharaj into a pure devotee. Then also Bali Maharaj. There are quite a number of demons, actually, who are pure devotees. And this is possible, as Prabhupada said in the purport of today's verse, by following the instructions of the pure devotee. And then tying in with that previous verse that I mentioned from the second canto. So it's very important that we develop these parties to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls. Prabhupada called these the Sankirtan parties, where they travel all over the world distributing the teachings of a pure devotee, the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, so that everyone in the world has an opportunity to follow these transcendental instructions and to get benefit from it. Now there's a verse from the fourth canto, chapter 29, text 46, that all preachers and all Sankirtan devotees should know about. This verse particularly explains how this process works. So the translation of the verse: when a person is fully engaged in devotional service, he is favored by the Lord, who bestows his causeless mercy. At such a time, the awakened devotee gives up all material activities and ritualistic performances mentioned in the Vedas. So in the purport to this verse, Prabhupada says some amazing things that really illuminates factually how this process of preaching works and how these conditioned souls with these demonic mentalities become inclined to take up this transcendental service, this practice of bhakti yoga. Prabhupada says, the word atma bhavita also indicates that a devotee is always engaged in preaching to deliver conditioned souls. It is said of the six Goswamis, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno, Saddharma Sangstapako, Lokanang Hitakarano. A pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always thinking of how fallen conditioned souls can be delivered. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, influenced by the merciful devotee's attempt to deliver fallen souls, enlightens the people in general from within by his causeless mercy. If a devotee is blessed by another devotee, he becomes freed from karmakand and gyanakand activities. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Vedeshu Durlabham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be realized through karmakand and gyanakand. Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau. The Lord is realized only by a sincere devotee. So this is not only how the conditioned souls become interested in Krishna consciousness, because there are statements to the effect that one can only become a devotee if he was a devotee in his last life, or different things to this effect. But this is factually how that initial seed gets planted and becomes to fructify within the heart of the conditioned souls. Because there's so many countless millions and billions of people that are of this demonic mentality. So the question is, how do they ever begin this process of purification? So this process begins by a merciful devotee who's always thinking of how these fallen souls can be delivered. And when that compassion develops to a strong enough point, he'll actually go out to try to deliver these fallen souls. But it's not directly by their effort that anything happens. Prabhupada explained on many occasions that we simply do our duty to the best of our ability and leave everything else up to Krishna. Whether Krishna makes thousands of devotees or whether Krishna sends us no devotees, that's not our business. Our business is simply to preach and to try to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by those activities. And then when Krishna becomes satisfied with those activities, he will factually inspire the hearts of all these demonic people. He will inspire them to drop all their demonic ways and demonic ideas and to take up this transcendental path of Krishna consciousness. And it's not to say that, well, only Krishna consciousness and everything else is just like garbage. No, that's not what it's about either. Because Krishna consciousness isn't really a religion like that. It's not my religion's better than your religion. Krishna consciousness is a set of principles. It's a set of techniques that you take and apply within your life that anyone can take. Anyone can apply these in their life. These are non-sectarian teachings. One time, one devotee was asking Prabhupada, which is better, this religion or that religion? And Prabhupada replied, why are you trying to make me sectarian? So that's not the point. These are all different designations, this religion, that religion. The point is, take to Krishna consciousness. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage in his service. Doesn't matter what terms and definitions or words you use to describe the same thing. We're just talking about a transcendental subject. And so also, importantly, this is also how devotees make further progress also. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, no one is more dear to me than he who teaches this message of the Bhagavad Gita to devotees. So it's not that once you begin Krishna consciousness, then you know, you're just dropped out in the cold and you're left to just fend for yourself with all the tigers. No, even devotees need preaching to also. Everyone needs to be preached to. The fallen conditioned souls, the devotees, everyone. And this mainly happens through association. So that's why association is so important. Association is so essential to our spiritual advancement even that in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Krishna basically says that by association alone, you can go back to the spiritual world. That's how powerful devotee association is. Because through this association, we'll become purified. It's really amazing, actually, in Krishna consciousness, there's such a wide variety of personalities. All these aspiring devotees. They come from such diverse backgrounds. That it's really amazing that so many people can become united, can come together for one purpose, for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. Ordinarily, just looking in the temple room, ordinarily, there's basically no way that all of us would be together in one room together if we were in material consciousness. It just would not happen. We all come from such different backgrounds, and we all have such different personalities, that there is no way we could all cooperate with each other long enough to even get in the same room with each other. But by Krishna's transcendental mercy, here we all are. And it's rather mind-boggling how this actually happens. So, through the process of purification and elevation in Krishna consciousness, we become purified of all our material conditioning. But that's the point. We're in the process of purification. So during this process of purification, it's very, very important. It's of utmost importance to be humble and tolerant. In the beginning, oftentimes people may think, oh, just look at what a great personality I am. I'm so tolerant of all the other devotees. I'm tolerating all these things. But actually, the real experience is I can't believe everyone else is tolerating me. My God. I have so many defects and so many disqualifications. And I still have so much work to do on my own self. I'm just dumbfounded that everyone else is tolerating me long enough to even allow me to stay here. So, it's really extremely important to develop some tolerance, develop some humility, and to really truly appreciate this association we have, the association of the other devotees. This association is extremely rare. I think the world's going to, if it hasn't already, reach 7 billion people very soon. 7 billion. That's incomprehensible to the mind. How can you count 7 billion people? You can't. And yet out of those 7 billion people, how many of those 7 billion are aspiring to take to Krishna consciousness, are aspiring to become liberated from the clutches of this material energy? Way less than 1%. So devotees are extremely rare. And while we're here within the association of devotees, we should tolerate each other. We should tolerate ourselves. And we should see how we can work together, cooperate with each other for this express purpose of developing these Sankirtan parties to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. So I think I'll end there if there's any comments or questions. Archita Prabhu?
You started your presentation by saying that Prabhupada was making the distinction between Nitya Mukta and Nitya Bada, but that's not the case. That verse that he cited from the Padma Purana, he didn't cite the first line, but it says, Dabhuta Sargaloke Smin Deva Asura Evacha. So this Deva Asura is not distinction between Nitya Mukta and Nitya Bada. It's distinction between souls that are in this material world. As we know from this pastime specifically, the demigods are not necessarily Nitya Mukta. They're not at all Nitya Mukta. They're aspiring to be liberated. They're devotees of Krishna, which come in different flavors, the Kanishtha, the Madhyama, and the Uttama. So the distinction that's being made here is between the demons and the demigods. And the demigods are not in the Nityamukta category at all.
Well, what I was specifically, I agree with what you're saying. You know, that's a good point to clarify. However, I wasn't quite referring to that. I was referring to the fact that Indra is considering Vritrasura to be a demon, namely Nityabhata. But yet he was in fact an extremely exalted, liberated devotee, Nityamukta. Is that okay? Yeah, I'm sorry, I should have made that more clear. Mukunda Prabhu?
Thank you for the nice class. You're recording from the second canto in which Lord Krishna had shook hands with Lord Brahma. And you were also saying that the Nitya Buddhas, our acharyas don't teach that one is eternally a conditioned soul. Now, in that purport that you cited from the second canto, Srila Prabhupada mentions renegades of the Brahma Sampradaya. Yeah. And I'm wondering, who does he have in mind, if you know her? Because it's an interesting fact that Madhvacharya, who came in the Brahma Sampradaya, he actually teaches that there is such a thing as eternally conditioned souls, and they will never be able, they don't have the capacity to go back to Godhead to accept Krishna consciousness. So he kind of accepts eternal damnation in that sense. I'm wondering if you can just comment on that.
Well, out of honesty, I'm not qualified to comment on that. If there's somebody else who is, I would appreciate some clarification. But that is an interesting point. All I know is how Prabhupada has characterized Nityabhata. And Prabhupada characterized Nityabhata as having the ability of becoming Nitya Siddha, Nitya Mukta also. So as far as how Madhvacharya characterized the Nityabhatas, I'm not qualified to talk on that point. Anyone else? Try. It's getting late. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.